I'm going to be brief tonight, I hope. Matthew chapter 2 in your Bibles, where I want you to notice again, verse 19, there's an astonishing detail about the coming of Christ that is oft forgotten, that is also included in the story of his birth. It says, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother." By the way, you may have noticed how the angel of the Lord made the same distinction much earlier to Joseph. I noticed this with the teenagers in Sunday school today. Verse 20 says, "Take the young child and his mother." You know, that's a strange way of talking to a father. Why not say, "Take your son"? Take your wife and son, or just take your son. And of course, you could just say that that's an anomaly. It's just an oversight by the writer, except it's the same precise language that Gabriel used long before this, as we noted. Look at verse 13. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt." You see, beloved, the Word of God is meticulously consistent in its language, so that the angel of the Lord understood that Joseph was not our Lord's biological father. He knew that it is inconsistent and wrong to say, "Take your son." I'm sure you've noticed the genealogy. If you turn back a page, it's also very consistent. It says in verse 2 of chapter 1, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, Judas begot Pharisee. That's how you do a genealogy. Father to son, father to son, father to son. That's how you do it. And it goes that way all the way through consistently in this genealogy, as it should, until you get to verse 16. And inexplicably, it says in verse 16, "And Jacob begot Joseph, and Joseph begot Jesus?" No. "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ." Again, meticulous in its accuracy and consistency, reminding us, as I did the young people this morning, that the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, the miracle of one single man being born without Adam's sin, is not just some added element in a children's story. This miracle of Jesus being born by the Holy Spirit as God in the flesh is why we have this astonishing detail we noted in verse 20. Look at it again. "Saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel." Here it is. "For they are dead which sought the young child's life." Now, wait a minute. "They are dead which sought the young child's life." Who would do such a thing? Why would they do such a thing? This young child born to a poor family, he's not a threat or a power or a problem. Nobody should be afraid of this Jesus born in Bethlehem. Nobody except for Satan, and thus all of Satan's kingdom. They, not just Herod, they are dead which sought the young child's life. You know, there's an old bumper sticker that says, "Wise men still seek him." Well, foolish men still seek him as well. And of course, what they seek is his life in order, as it says here, to destroy it. There's just one problem. It will always and ultimately be true that they are dead which sought the young child's life. You notice again, the last line of verse 13 says that Herod will seek the young child to destroy him, right? And just how extreme and desperate is King Herod, and how far will he go to end Jesus' life, this young child? Well, it's in verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and killed all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under." In other words, here is a man who would go to any lengths. He was willing to sacrifice anything, including little children's lives, in order to find and destroy the Christ child. And of course, what you find in the whole course of human history is that King Herod has had his predecessors, and he now has his successors. In other words, God, and most especially the Son of God, has always been the receiving end of man's anger and wrath and scorn, and on the receiving end of Satan's long, long war against heaven. So that almost the first sentence of the Bible is two words, God said. And almost the first sentence of temptation is three words, hath God said. And from the very first act of defiance against God in Genesis chapter 3 until the very last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 20, the Herods of the kingdom of darkness have always sought to oppose and to defeat and ultimately destroy the work of God and His Son. Now, they cannot kill physically the Christ child today. But you can be sure that the mystery of iniquity is still already working. How so, Pastor? You know, Ecclesiastes 1:10 is a great text. I think it's a great and a powerful reminder to God's people. You're all familiar with it. It is a question, and it says very simply, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? No, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no new thing under the sun. And you know, beloved, nowhere is that truth any more apparent than with the Herods of this world. All the past Herods, all the present Herods, all the current Herods in our text today. Many of you know that after the turn of the 19th century, there arose in Europe and then in America a so-called, quote, new theology. In those days, it was also called modernism, and it was all the rage in seminaries and universities, except there was really nothing modern about it at all. It was the same old, hath God said, uttered by the serpent in the garden. And yet, every year at Christmas and at Easter, we have all of these. Someone answer the cricket, would you, please? I cannot compete with a cricket. Other things, yes, but not a cricket. Every year, as you all know, you go in the Publix and you see these magazines and these special editions. A lot of them are out of print these days, by the way. So they have to do special editions. And they have all these news networks and they do their biannual hit piece on Christ or Christianity and the gospel. It's always at Christmas time and sometimes at Easter. And it's like they get a memo from the devil. And they all do their duty and fall in line. And this year's no different. I've seen them. And of course, like all of their articles and documentaries, they always rely on the same old Gnostic heresies from the 2nd and 3rd century. Now, if you think about that, that's 300 years after Christ that some writer denied the virgin birth or the deity of Christ. And they come up with a, quote, new theology. 1,900 years ago is too old to be new. And you know what? It's not old enough to be genuine. But they're here, all around us. They are entrenched in seminaries, universities, and pulpits, and publishing houses, working to extinguish the true light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say, beloved, that you cannot be a true worshiper of Christ. You cannot be a believer while at the same time seeking to destroy his life. You say, well, Pastor, nobody's trying to destroy his life today. They can't. He's up in heaven. They're trying to destroy his life and his life's work in the same way that Herod did. When you deny his deity, when you deny the miracle of the virgin birth and his, therefore, sinlessness, he was not born in sin because he was born of a virgin, you destroy his life. And if you're wondering how that fits with King Herod, look at verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, this is Herod, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, Herod says, that I may come and worship him also. Herod wants to worship Jesus. Yep. But in the same exact way that liberal theology and the social gospel and the Washington Cathedral and Christianity today, the same way that they want to worship him as well. Truly, there is nothing new under the sun. Every single time that these news magazines, these companies publish some issue at Christmas or in Easter, every single time they find a writer. They find a so-called expert on the Bible and on Jesus, who never believes in either one. They don't really believe in Jesus. They've never accepted Christ. They've never trusted the Bible, but they're somehow experts on it. Now, you know what they say? They say they appreciate the traditions of the faith. They appreciate the deep meaning behind the hope that is in Jesus' birth or Jesus' resurrection. Can I ask you a question? Would you trust an article in Time magazine that's supposed to be a scholarly look into the Nazi Holocaust, but it's written by the Ayatollah? You know, Holocaust deniers are not reliable resources on the Holocaust. And Christ deniers, I don't care how fancy their suit or how many seminary degrees or if they wear a collar, but a Christ denier is not a reliable witness on the power of salvation and the truth of Christmas. And so it is throughout history that right along with King Herod, there have risen against Christ a vast array of persecutors and oppressors and infidels and critics and principalities and unbelieving scholars and others who are desperate to deny Christ the truth of who he is and why he came. In fact, there's a historical point in Matthew 2 that I think is often overlooked and forgotten. Everybody knows that we've all heard that there was no room for Christ. There was no room for him in the inn. The Son of God, the King of the universe, was denied a place in the world that he created. Imagine that for a moment. But it didn't stop with the inn. Because here, the ruler of Judea, a man who was supposed to give refuge and protection, and especially to his own, one of his own subjects born under his reign. But for Christ, he was denied that protection. King Herod shames his authority and offers Christ no such refuge. Instead, seeking the child for death and destruction. There's no room in the inn. Oh yeah, there's no room in all of Judea either. So the beloved, the Son of God, from the beginning to the middle to the very end of his ministry, our Lord Jesus was always despised and rejected of men exactly as was prophesied centuries before. Someone says, Pastor, have you noticed they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas? There's jingle bells and there's season's greetings and there's happy holidays, but virtually no Jesus. It's Merry Xmas. Rick says Merry Christ X. He tries to flip it around. But Pastor, how long have they tried to take Christ out of Christmas? About 2,000 years so far and counting. There's nothing new under the sun. It brings me a second truth. The first one is the word they. That's talking about God's foes. The second thing is the word sought, and it refers to man's foolishness or folly. You know why? Because one single universal truth that God puts in his word, almost matter-of-factly in this text, as only the Holy Spirit of God could. Remember verse 13, you look at it, it says that Herod, quote, sought. He sought the young child to destroy him, right? Look at verse 20. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go in the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Do you notice the juxtaposition of the word dead with the word life? In other words, King Herod, the one with all the money, the one with all of the power, the one with all of the influence and all of the resources, King Herod sought the young child, the poor family, the poor child. He sought the young child's life. Well, Herod is dead, and the child is alive and still bringing many sons to glory. And can I say, you realize tonight that it's always been like that? If you just take the modern era, our era, basically we're living in, you will see this. Some time ago, I perused Time Magazine's website and I glanced at some of their most famous cover issues. You should do it sometime. Just the pictures of each cover. 1930, the cover of Time, had Harry Emerson Fosdick. He's the father of American modernism. He denied the virgin birth and the inspiration of Scripture. He made the big time when he appeared on the cover of Time magazine. Well, he is dead, which sought the young child's life. 1937, Henry Sloane Coffin, he's the father of liberal theology. He denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, but he's dead, which sought the young child's life. The cover of the 1941 Time magazine was Adolf Hitler. Fascist atheist, claimed to be God himself. He was a modern heron killing Jews, and he is dead, which sought the young child's life. 1948, the cover of Time magazine was Karl Marx. The subtitle says, on his 100th birthday, his ideals of atheism go marching on. Do they? Well, he is dead, which sought the young child's life. 1950 was Chairman Mao, destroyer of the scriptures and the Christian faith. He claimed that his little red book would outlast the Bible. Well, he's dead, which sought the young child's life. The cover of 1953 is Joseph Stalin, atheist, murderer of millions who scoffed at the resurrection and called the nativity a fairy tale. He is dead, which sought the young child's life. And you know, interestingly, I could go on tonight. It all started with the new theology and modernism, as I mentioned, in the 1920s. And what did that ideal lead to? It led to the worst century in human history of fascism and communism. And yet, that famous 1966 issue of Time said, is God dead? Remember? They took a line from Friedrich Nietzsche's famous line, God is dead. Well, Nietzsche is dead. And they are dead which sought the young child's life. It's just a reminder, beloved, that it is the folly and foolishness of man that ever seeks to destroy this book and the message or change the truth about who our Lord Jesus Christ is. The folly exists all around us, and it leads me to the third and the final truth. God's foe, number two, man's folly. The third thing you'll notice, number three, is Joseph's faith. Please don't miss this. Look at verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. No calendar, no countdown, just stay there until you hear. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, wait a minute. How long is this going to take? Everything we've said so far that's obvious about how people have tried to change who Jesus is and continue to fight the truth of Christ everywhere in our seminaries, in our schools, in people's pulpits, all of that really has led to this singular point in truth. Joseph was told to get up and once again get on the road. How long is this going to last? Because Gabriel says, flee into Egypt until I bring thee word. You know, Joseph was a just man. He was a Jew who knew the Hebrew scriptures very well. This message to flee into Egypt until Herod was dead must have sounded an awful lot like the words in Exodus 4:19 that says, the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Well, for Moses, that was a 40-year wait. For Joseph and Mary and this child, who knows how long it's going to take? And here's the thing, listen carefully. Why should they have to run? Why should they flee? Why isn't Herod and his evil son Antipas and Why are they the ones who are fleeing from the land of Israel? I mean, first, Caesar, who titled himself Augustus, which means God. First of all, he forces this young couple, great with child, to travel this arduous journey and register for his selfish little census. And then, his even more vile subject, Herod, forces the family to leave in exile to this foreign land the Old Testament calls the land of bondage. Where's the justice in this? How in the world is this happening, and why is this happening? Well, you might be asking that question here and there. Maybe some evil in our land will force you and displace you from where you thought you should be and want to be. I can tell you that whatever God was doing, what I am impressed by and convicted by was Joseph's response to it. You see, the command to leave is in verse 13. Joseph's response is in verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. When he arose, he had a dream. As soon as he got up from the dream, in the middle of the night, he obeyed the dream. No questions recorded in Scripture. Obviously, no hesitation. No need for a poor family to take 6 weeks to gather belongings and put all their stuff in storage, right? There's not a whole lot. No, the Bible says Joseph responded by believing and obeying exactly and immediately what he knew God had said. And you know, it's interesting, looking at the gold, the frankincense and myrrh, these costly things the wise men had brought from far away, Joseph and Mary could see that God was providing this poor family with enough means to sustain them on the trip and while they're in Egypt. God always makes a way to obey his commands. But folks, as it has been throughout all the ages, Joseph and Mary could have looked around. Sure, of course. As it has always been, God's people, Joseph and Mary, could have looked around and said, it's not fair. This is not right. Why is Herod getting away with this? Why is it always the Herods and the Stalins and the Gnostics who get the cover treatments in magazines and National Geographic specials? You realize this is the only time throughout the entire life and ministry of Christ he was ever outside the borders of Israel. And this was no vacation. They were fleeing. They were running for their lives. Even though Joseph and Mary were perfectly aware that at any time, had God chosen to do so, he could have eradicated Herod and his sons. He could have stricken all of them dead and removed them. They know that. But you see, beloved, it only further illustrates the foolish thinking of man. Man thinks that because he's still alive and mocking God, because he has prospered while fighting against God, that he's even more powerful and immortal than he imagined. It sure seemed that way. Until one day, we don't know when, one day, the faith of Joseph was affirmed by this universal truth. And it ought to affirm us tonight. What is the universal truth, Pastor? Verse 14. When he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, he departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. You see, folks, the Herods always end. They may ride high. They may be on the cover of Time in a Newsweek magazine. They may be receiving a medal. They may have all the money and all the power. But the Herods always end. And how will Joseph react now? Now that he hears news of this, and surely the tables have turned, look at verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Wait a minute. You realize that's the exact same response of faith that we read in verse 14? All you have to do is switch the name. Switch Egypt for Israel. He arose right after he got from the dream. In other words, the foolishness of mankind, the foolishness of those that are blind, did not change the patience and the faith of Joseph. And by the way, verse 20 doesn't mean that all now finally is going to come up roses for Joseph and his family. This is not going to be some grand homecoming. If you think that's the happy ending to the story, that we in the flesh and Hollywood things ought to be there, you understand that's not how it is in the walk of faith. Look at verse 22. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judas in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. You get that, right? There will always be Herods in this world until our Lord comes back. Always. Because as surely as there is light, there is darkness. And just as surely as there is good, there is evil. And yet in the midst of it all, there is also always a Joseph and a Mary. My prayer tonight for us during this season is that we would be reminded that there are those who seek to destroy the life. And by that, I mean they seek to destroy the truth of who Christ is. His deity, the virgin birth, his soon coming return, the inspiration of the scriptures. And they will be loud and they will be powerful and they will be wealthy. And sometimes they will hurt you and your own. And they're doing it now in places across the world, physically even. But in that midst and in our midst and always and forever, there are those like Joseph who have faith and obey. And our prayers, my prayer is that we will be Joseph. That we will listen to his voice, listen to his word, obey his word, and fulfill his will. Because one day, the Lamb of God, which taketh away to the sin of the world, will come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you for Joseph. A just man who earlier than this, even when he could have easily exposed Mary, thinking that she was unfaithful, was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. Lord, we thank you for this just man, but we thank you for his faithfulness. For the time that he was on the scene, in the life of Christ, his faithfulness to you and to your word. May we follow the example. May we recognize that no matter who the Herods are right now, and their boastings and their bluster, and the little children they may kill, and how many Herods foster the same thing even with abortion. Thank you, Father, that we know that these inevitable truths in this text come true for every Herod that dies without Christ. So may we trust you in your word and not our circumstances. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.